opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Today is Sunday, April 5th, 2015. Happy Easter out there. We went to the egg hunt yesterday up there in Wairika, and I don't think there's going to be too many egg hunts today because it's going to be raining, but my name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again, and I am here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, and also Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. That's kcnr1460.com. Or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 2570 South Bonneview Destiny Fellowship. And I believe this Monday we're going to be having Tim Pappas.
That's correct.
And he's going to be talking about the grand jury and the importance of it and why we need to get involved in that.
And they're actually accepting applications for that right now, from my understanding. So
there you have it. So we need to get more people involved in the grand jury so it's not the good old boys club. And Tea Party stands for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and follow the Constitution. Wow, I mean, what radical concepts, though, those extremist guys. Yeah.
So we just go off of what we're supposed to, the foundation that our founding fathers gave us. I mean, what a concept that.
Yeah, as opposed
would
to
want
some,
to do that.
Not radical Marxist philosophy that turns our country into an economic mess and there's no recovery and we become a third world country with no power in the world, global scene. Yeah, or that.
Or so, that.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Which, if you don't get involved, we're kind of headed down that road anyway.
Well, we're kind of headed that way. Whether anybody believes it or not, you know, the recovery continues. My quote of the day is, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. I just like that quote. I think it's a great thing to maybe renew your strength, and this being Easter and everything out there. You know, we could use a little shot of energy.
Everybody could. I think some of us are getting a little tired nowadays, but we keep on plugging along, you know.
Well, the fight.
We have to.
The fight continues, and it will continue. And there's nothing for it except everybody getting up off the couch and getting involved. And I guess, you know, what's going to happen here is that we need to see the pain before we see the reality, I guess. And that's the human nature.
Well, I think people need to be educated and maybe reverse their thinking about how to handle your politicians and what to do and how to be effective.
Well, I think you're right. And we've got some classes coming up on that. And I think people need to realize the difference between access to power and actual power. And, you know, people think that because they can go talk to their local political guy that, you know, they want
to have their best interest in mind.
They have their best interest in mind, and just talking to them is going to make a difference. No, what these people understand is pressure, and that's the only thing they understand is pressure. If it's not in their best interest, then they really don't care, despite the fact that they try to make it look like they care.
Yeah. Because otherwise they wouldn't do some of the things they do.
Now, that's not every single politician. There's a few out there that actually
that's
have people's
ones.
Best interest in mind. But they also respond to the will of the people. You know, you know, it's supposed to be the will of the people that have their best interest in mind and not their own personal vested interest. And we see that over and over and over again with different votes of people that, you know, say one thing and do another. And,
only have one interest at heart, you know,
their
one
own.
Particular subject, you know, for the people.
Yeah.
And then they do some really bad things on all the other issues. So you got to kind of re-educate yourself on those, you know, that just because they do one good thing.
Well, you should give them a pass on everything.
That's exactly.
Kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
You got to hold their feet to the fire on everything if that's what you believe is the right thing. So,
yeah.
Excuse me. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about a little bit of economics this morning. And after we'll probably go to the first break and then we'll play that Peter Schiff video.
Okay.
And, you know, in the meantime, you know, there's so many stories out there and so many things that we can talk about that it's utterly, you know, ridiculous because there's, you know, I just look at the headlines in the mainstream news and they don't talk about hardly anything that's actually happening in the global economics picture. You know, what we get is the rainbows and lollipop stuff. You know, oh, we're in recovery. Everything's fine. You know, the job numbers, oh, don't worry about that. And, you know, don't worry about the implosion of, you know, all this economic data, you know, that is happening. You know, you've got... China starting a new bank people are flooding to worldwide.
There's like 40 countries or something that's going on board with that.
Yeah, it's even stunned the people who have started it. How many people are jumping ship off the American dollar? Nothing gets reported. You know, you got payroll on Friday. You know, the jobs missed worst miss since December of 2013. You know, the American labor force soars to, you know, a record, you know, 93.2 million is there's no, you know, the participation rate drops. And yet they tell us that we're at 5.5% unemployment. You know, the disconnect is startling. So
yeah, before we go on back to the banks,
yeah.
I had something happen. I went to put cash in a bank account for somebody. And do you know that you can't do that in some banks right here in Reading?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. There's, you know, the capital controls are creeping in. And people don't, you know, a lot of people don't know what capital controls are. And that's where they start, you know, taking more and more control over the banking system and your money, you know, incrementally, like they've done in Greece and Cyprus.
And it is starting to happen here. And if, like me, I just happen to go to the bank to do it and they go, no, we can't accept the money because you're not on the account. It's like, what?
Yeah, so
it's like, so you need to be aware of some of that stuff, folks out there that,
Know. We've been saying all along it's coming, and I think that the people are really going to have to feel the pain of this economic crisis that is, you know, we're in the middle of the hurricane here, and we're going to be going into the storm again here pretty soon, and it can't be covered up. And it's just sad that, you know, the answer and the solution to this is actually take the pain, you know, clear it out. You know, we should have cleared out the banks. They should have been bankrupted. We need to actually clear this thing out and start fresh. And it's not going to happen as long as we keep getting the manipulation and the interference from the central banks and the government. You know, the overspending, the rigging of all the markets, you know, whether it's the gold market or the stock market. You know, the scale is absolutely unimaginable for a lot of people to see it. But it nonetheless is happening, and we're here at Sovereign Minds reporting the truth to you people out there because, you know, we're trying to, you know, give you an alternative source of news that you're just not getting mainstream and nobody's putting it together for you. So
and maybe to help protect yourself or be able to put things into place to somewhat protect yourself with what's coming.
Well, that's it. It's not about the doom and gloom as much as that you have to understand that this is actually happening. Because if you don't believe that this is actually happening, then you don't believe that there's anything that you need to do to take care of you and your family other than just, you know, keep working and so forth. And it's going to be more than that. We're going to go to a break right now, and then we'll come back, and Peter Schiff will talk to us a little bit about this stuff. We've got a video clip here. And then I'll try to explain what he's saying, because this is a lot about words. Words, if you don't understand the meanings of some of the words, then you don't understand the concepts. And a financial science, if you will, has its own words that mean things.
They have their own dictionary?
Well, basically, yeah. If you don't understand the meanings of the terms, then you don't understand what they're talking about, and you don't get the concepts, so it's really difficult for you to see how this applies to you and in your life. So with that, let's go to a break.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I'll go find a network want to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Peter Pan live at the Cascade Theatre. Join Peter, Wendy, Michael and John in the high-flying, timeless Broadway musical that will whisk you away to a place where dreams are born and no one ever grows up. Perfect family show for the child in all of us. Peter Pan will have you soaring high on a wild adventure to Neverland. Come fly with us to the Cascade Theatre and experience this classic tale, Peter Pan. Purchase tickets now at 243-8877 or online at cascadetheatre.org.
4.5 million Americans would die each year without life-saving blood transfusions. You can help us save lives while being a winner, too.
The Diamond Drop is happening live at Reading Shasta Blood Center. Desi and I will be there from 10 to 5 showcasing a gorgeous diamond necklace, sponsored by Four Winds Jewelry. Challenge yourself and others in our Operation Save a Life campaign.
It's the Diamond Drop, April 17th at Shasta Blood Center. Call 221-0600 and sign up today.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Larry Morgan, chairman of the Reading Downtown Transportation Plan. Roundabouts, new lanes, well, let's find out Monday when we talk to Larry. Also joining us, Safari Club International with the latest on what's happening with their fundraiser. All of this Monday here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the people's voice.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sunshine, lollipops and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine. Just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how this refrain goes. So come
yep.
on, join in.
Sunshine and lollipops. Boy, that's what we're getting, but... we have breaking news that we're going to probably talk about later on here. We've got a caller that's going to call in about a quarter to 10. So you guys might want to stick around for this one. This is pretty big stuff, I think. But
Hot off the press.
Let's key up and listen to Peter Schiff here talk about what happened, this last week in the economic forum, worldwide, and see if it's all about sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops, and the recovery continues. Go ahead there, Bob.
Hi, everybody. It's Peter Schiff. It is Friday, April 3rd, 2015. And in fact, it is Good Friday, so the U.S. markets, along with most of the markets around the world, were closed today in observance of the holiday, but it didn't stop the Labor Department from releasing the March non-farms payroll numbers, and it may be Good Friday, but it wasn't a Good Friday if you were expecting confirmation that the labor market is still strong. And in fact, for months now, we have been inundated with bad economic news, so much so that even the Fed's Atlanta GDP Now estimate of first quarter GDP is just zero, no growth whatsoever. But despite all of the bad economic news that has been continuing to pour in, the one exception, right, the one standout, the outlier, has been the non-farm payroll numbers, the jobs report, at least superficially. Now, most economists have been expecting the rest of the data to improve, to catch up with the jobs numbers. On the other hand, what I've been saying is I thought it would only be a matter of time for the jobs numbers to fall back down in line with everything else. And that is what has happened today, at least with the March numbers. And of course, before the numbers were released, they were already trying to pre-blame this on the weather. But no matter how you slice it, this report was terrible, and it's not because of the weather. It's possible that some jobs didn't get created because of the weather, but I'm sure it's a very small number relative to the overall report. So let's just get down to the March report. Analysts had been expecting 247,000 jobs created in March. And I guess over the last couple of days, since we got that weaker than expected ADP number on private payrolls, people were trying to lower expectations. And so there were a lot of people thinking it would come in slightly below the consensus. But very few people, if any, believed it would come in this low. In fact, the lowest estimate was 200,000. So even the people that thought it would be a bad number still thought we'd get another 200,000 print. The actual number was 126,000 jobs. That's it. That is the fewest number of jobs that we've created since December of 2013. That means we did better in the polar vortex, January, February, March of 2014. This was worse than those numbers. Now, to add insult to injury, they went backwards, right? And they took, I think, 67,000 jobs away from the last 2 months, meaning they went backwards and revised the previous estimates of job gains so that those gains were actually not as robust as when they were originally reported. In fact, now if you take the last 3 months in total, the average of those 3 months is now below 200,000 jobs per month. Also, another bad detail of this report is that the labor force participation rate edged back down a tenth to 62.7, matching its record low, at least a record low in modern times. And to go back historically, it wasn't until, you have to go back to 1968, or 1978 rather, 1978, to find a labor force participation rate this low. But of course, back in the 1970s, that was when women only began to enter the labor force. So far fewer women were required to work back then as would be required today. So this is a much different number. In fact, if you look at the labor force participation rate for men, I mean, it's never been this low in the history of the country. And in fact, if you also look beneath the headlines, for every one person that found a job in February, more than two people, more than 2 to 1, left the labor market, right? They threw in the towel. The labor force participation is going down. Now, the number of Americans who are no longer working rose to a record. 93.175 million Americans not working. 277,000 left the labor force. And another problem statistic is that among those who did get jobs in March, they were over 55. All of the job gains went to workers 55 and older. Workers who are younger than 55 actually lost jobs in March. I also looked at the type of jobs that were created. Again, about 70% of the jobs that were created were in retail, in healthcare, education, hotels, restaurants. You know, many of these jobs are temporary jobs, and of course, many are part-time, and most of them are low-paying. So again, a very, very weak jobs report. And finally, a report that's so weak, right, that it may confirm all of the other weak economic data that people have been ignoring. Because remember, people have said, well, yes, these numbers are weak, but the jobs market is still strong, so I'm not going to worry about all this other weak data because we can still hang our hat on the strong jobs numbers. Well, there's nothing to hang your hat on anymore except to blame it on the weather. Well, you know, the weather excuse is going to run dry soon. You know, we're going to get spring. It is April, and it's not going to be as cold. It's not going to snow, but it may rain on the Wall Street excuse parade. That's for sure, because if we continue to get weak numbers, as I expect, throughout the spring, then this whole fantasy is going to come to an end. Now, where does this put the Fed? Now, from my perspective, it doesn't change anything, right? Because I know the Fed's not going to raise rates. I know the Fed has been bluffing since day one, right? They've been bluffing since they did QE1. But your typical Wall Street strategist, economist, who actually believes that the U.S. economy has recovered, right? He expects the Fed is going to raise rates. But the last time Janet Yellen spoke, she basically threw down the gauntlet and said that rate hikes are contingent on further improvement in the job market. Well, what has happened to the job market since Janet Yellen made that statement? The job market has deteriorated substantially, because not only have we revised lower the prior 2 months so that now fewer jobs were actually created than what Janet Yellen believed when she made that statement, but now we have the worst non-farm payroll report since December of 2013. Now, was the Fed raising rates back then? No. In fact, they were doing quantitative easing back then. Yet, now we have a report as bad as it was back in late 2013. And I think it's only going to get worse. Because remember, a lot of the jobs that were created in 2014 on anticipation of a recovery that everybody had been promising, I think a lot of these jobs are going to go away. You know, a lot of the bartenders and waiters that got hired in 2014 may get fired in 2015. And of course, you know, a lot of these people are working part-time. And so when you have this big part-time payroll and you have to pare it back, you are firing more people than you would be firing if you were firing from a full-time workforce, because your part-time workforce is bigger. And so if you're going to cut back, you're actually going to cut back more people. See, it's going to work both ways. I think it's the big pickup in part-time hiring that helped pad the job creation numbers in the first place. And of course, people wanted to take credit for all those jobs without actually looking beneath the surface to discover the quality of those jobs. Well, it's going to work the other way as the economy begins to soften. And a lot of these employers realize they jumped the gun. You know, they were too optimistic when it comes to the U.S. economy, and therefore they don't need as many part-time people as they hired. And so now it's going to be time to let them go. So I think that this is not a one-off fluke, and that all of a sudden we're going to have another strong jobs report for April and May, and then all the other bad economic data is going to magically improve with the improvement in the weather. You know, if you look at all the other data about the consumer, look at the big increase in the savings rate. I mean, the savings rate is still pathetically low, but it's at a two-year high. Also, the trade deficit that came in this week, it's about a two-year low. We had a collapse in imports. I mean, exports went down too. So the entire economy is contracting in that we're exporting less and importing less. But imports plunged by the most in, I don't know, since the Lehman crisis of 2008. And the reason imports are plunging, I mean, part of it might have had to do with the port strike, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that Americans are just not spending as much. They're saving more money. They're not even spending the windfall that they got from cheap oil prices. They're trying to repair their balance sheets so they're not spending, but they're tightening their belts precisely at a moment in time where everybody is counting on them to open up the purse strings and spend, you know, with reckless abandon. But they can't do that because they're broke. They have too much debt. Their cost of living is going up. They got lousy jobs. Yet everybody expects them to run to the rescue, you know, like the cavalry. But it's not going to happen. Remember, we had a very weak first quarter in 2014. And that was conveniently blamed on the weather. And some of it may have been weather related. I think last winter was much more disruptive to the economy than this winter. But we had that big drop. And then we had the sharp rebound in the second and third quarter. But that had to do with Obamacare spending that was kicking in for the first time. We're not going to get the benefit, if you want to call it a benefit, of that in 2015. We also had a big inventory build, particularly in the third quarter. Not going to get that again. I mean, companies are already, you know, drowning in inventory they can't sell. So why are they going to beef it up even more? So if you're expecting a big rebound in the second and third quarter, it's going to have to come from the consumer spending more money he doesn't have. So I don't see where all this fantasy is coming from other than just sheer wishful thinking. But the Fed is going to some point have to acknowledge that the U.S. economy is not as strong as it thought. And I can already hear the calls and the justification for more stimulus, for QE4, whether they call it that or not, because everybody is going to agree the problem is that we just didn't do enough stimulus, that, you know, it was working, right? That we got this recovery going, but it just didn't have enough power, right? It just didn't have enough oomph to achieve escape velocity. You know, we almost broke out of orbit. You know, the rocket ship was going up there, and it just didn't quite have enough power in the engines. And that's why it's coming back down to Earth. So we have to make sure to send it up there with more power. We just need a bigger round of stimulus, right? Paul Krugman style. We just need more money printing, more inflation, more deficit spending to create the velocity that we need to escape the gravitational pull of this recession, right? So we have to go back to the QE drawing board and really, you know, load it up. We have to do it big time, shock and awe QE. That is what is going to be called for, because nobody is going to recognize the complete failure of this program. The reason QE3 didn't work is not because it wasn't big enough. It's because it can't work, right? Because it damaged the economy. That is the problem with quantitative easing. It makes the problem you're trying to solve worse, except it makes you oblivious to that fact because you don't understand it or appreciate it until the effect of the prior round of QE wears off. Just like any drug, when you're high on the drug, you don't realize the damage that's being done. It's only when you stop taking it and it starts to leave your system that the withdrawal symptoms set in. The withdrawal symptoms, the economic withdrawal symptoms are setting in. People haven't wanted to recognize that. They've been rationalizing it. They've been excusing it because they don't understand the nature of what's going on. See, the people who think the Fed solved the problem never understood the problem from day one. That's why they don't know that everything the Fed did to solve a problem it created made that problem worse. But we're not going to acknowledge that this time, right? We're going to do another round, and this is going to be the lethal round. This is going to be the overdose on QE, because the crisis that's coming is going to be a dollar crisis. Now, the dollar was down 1% or so in a thin holiday trading session immediately following the release of this very disappointing March jobs report. But really, the decline in the dollar is only just getting started. Whether it's going to continue next week, or if it's going to have to wait a little longer for people to figure this out. But you have this huge speculative bid that's been in the dollar for months based on this false notion of a legitimate U.S. recovery and a Fed that's going to be raising interest rates. We have neither. We have an illegitimate recovery. We have a bubble masquerading as a recovery. The air is already seeping out, and the Fed hasn't even pricked it by raising rates, which is why they don't want to raise rates, because they don't want to accelerate the process. In fact, they're going to do whatever they can to delay it by blowing air back into the bubble with QE4. Meantime, I do not believe the rest of the world, particularly Europe, is going to be providing nearly as much stimulus as people think, especially when they get a load of how badly ours did not work. See, the whole justification for European QE is, hey, look how well it succeeded in America. But if we slip back into recession and have to do QE4, that's pretty strong evidence, at least to anybody who's thinking, that it didn't work. Meanwhile, the other justification for QE in Europe was that they didn't have enough inflation. Well, they're going to get more inflation, especially when the dollar plunges, and I think that sends up commodity prices. And so that is going to maybe reverse some of these pressures that have caused European politicians and central bankers to panic and lower rates much more than they should have, because they somehow feel that this decline in consumer prices represents some kind of threat to prosperity. Well, you know, they're going to be thankful, I guess, when the prices reverse and all of a sudden they have more inflation than they bargained for. And so ultimately they're going to cut these stimulus efforts short. But this is going to catch the currency traders by surprise, as they quickly have to reverse their wrong speculative bets on the dollar. But because the dollar rallied so much on anticipation of this, it's got a ways to fall before it gets into crisis mode. I don't know how long that's going to take, but eventually that is where we're going. You know, when people keep asking me, when is the Fed going to raise rates? They're not going to do it because the economy is strengthening. They're going to be doing it because it's weakening and because the currency is collapsing and because they have no choice but to try to raise rates, but to stop the bottom from falling out of the dollar. And that is not the decision that the Fed is going to be happy about having to make. And it's not the type of rate hike that people expect, because everybody says, well, it's okay if the Fed raises rates because they're only going to do it if the economy is strong. Well, if they do it, the economy won't be strong. That's the point. And when they actually get around to raising rates, it's going to be when the economy is very weak. And you know what? It's going to get even weaker, because in order to cure the problems, it's going to take some short-term pain. It's going to have to get worse before it gets better. And of course, getting worse is merely superficially, statistically, because all of those things, right? Consumers spending less, consumers saving more, right? Us allowing asset prices to decline to where they should be, right? Restructuring of the economy, defaults on debt. All of this is progress. All of this is a positive. It's a step in the right direction. It may not feel right, but it's going to work. The problem is we have been resisting the cure while the disease gets worse, and more people just believe, because we've been able to somehow cover up the symptoms or deny that they exist, that we think the Fed has actually cured us, when in fact they've made us sicker than ever.
Well, there you have it. That's Peter Schiff. We there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah,
we're going to talk some more about this, but I want to go ahead, and while Bob's queuing up this other video, this is Rick Santelli that we're going to listen to for about 2 or 3 minutes. And it feathers in with what Peter was just talking about. And when you realize what's going on, and we can talk more in terms of quantitative easing and, you know, interest rate hikes, and what is that? That's interest on treasuries and so forth. The real deal is that this whole recovery is just a made-up bunch of garbage, you know, and the Fed's exacerbating it by printing more money, called quantitative easing. When you print money with no backing, you know, it has the effect of, like he said, stimulating the economy, just like heroin stimulates the
right.
drug addict. But it's only a short-term fix until the
And he made a good point about, you know, quantitative easing. We're going in, what, 4? You know, if it didn't work before, why would, you know?
Well,
first, second, third, now we're going into fourth, you know?
Well, let's listen to what Rick Santelli has to say about deflation in the Fed, and then we'll go to a break.
Okay.
Two issues I want to go to. The first, everybody's been talking about it, but it's getting more mass as we get closer, of course, to assessing first quarter GDP. Models, whether it's Atlanta, have been talking zero for a while. It seems like Wall Street is now converging on 1%, maybe less. Here's my analogy. In the 90s and in the '00s pre-crisis, the government wanted a certain level of housing activity, whether qualified or unqualified. Teaser rates pulled everything forward. Everybody ended up with a house. We were all loaded up, and then boom. Okay, is this kind of the same thing as the Fed keeping rates artificially low and programs around the globe that create cheap debt. Then all of a sudden, everybody's kind of loaded up. Everything's pulled forward. Where does that leave us? Is that what this GDP number is telling us, or am I writing too much into just one quarter?
Well, yeah, probably more than one quarter, but there's definitely a trend. My business-to-business model, the B2B index, in the third quarter was flat, and that suggested that we were headed downward with GDP statistics, and indeed that's what's happened. And in a couple of weeks, we'll get the B2B index for the fourth quarter. And if that shows flat, then that's what's going to be happening. But I think it's a strong dollar. I think it's also because the Fed is panicking. A lot of people don't realize that because Janet Yellen looks like she's, you know, very calm and so forth. But if you looked at the money supply growth rate, M2 is growing at a 10% rate. It's the fastest growth rate that I've seen in years. And that suggests to me that the Fed is concerned that inflation's going to be low. I don't think they're going to raise interest rates at all this year. I think they are panicking and they are fearful of this strong dollar, and that GDP in the first quarter is going to be near zero.
You know, Mark, you bring up a very good point. Now, my opinion is that it doesn't matter how you normalize. Maybe a better way to go would be to put some of those balance sheet reserves back into the market. It needs the grease anyway, or even raising rates a token 25 or 50. It's the idea that you're making an effort to end something and normalize something, but they've missed so many opportunities to do that. Maybe things are slowing down to a point where it doesn't make sense now. But the problem is, if we did dip into a recessionary or close to recessionary or stall speed type growth, what do they do for an encore? Final 20 seconds.
Rick, they fear deflation. The CPI is not going up. They need it to go up 2 to 3%. They're doing everything they can to reverse that trend. And that means one simple thing, that they're postponing raising rates. You have to remember that raising rates could disrupt this whole recovery that is so fragile. That's the danger.
Well, they always say that anybody who says that's crazy, but the proof's in the response. If everything was so good, they always seem to find reasons not to do it. You know, if you have a car loan at 6%, 25 base points by the Fed isn't going to affect your life much. Mark, thank you for taking the time today. We're out of time. Now we're going to go back to Sarah.
There you have it. That was Rick Santelli with Mark Chapman Mark Skousen from Chapman University, and talking about the same thing that Peter Schiff was talking about. And if you're starting to understand the words and the verbs, the verbiage here, you're starting to understand what they're talking about. You know, this quantitative easing is printing more money, and the Fed fears, you know, when they talk about a strong dollar, that's not a good thing in this instance, because it's compared to other currencies, it's strong. And what that does is causes trade imbalances through world trade, because you can get your stuff cheaper in China and any other place than United States. So it's like the best horse in the glue factory, or, you know, as Max Kaiser says, it's the best, it's the leper with the most fingers. And so it's bad, because, you know, if you don't have any backing on any of these currencies, they need that, inflation factor to stay in business, to keep this economy rolling.
And I don't think people realize that. Well, you know, when you hear certain terms, you automatically assume that means it's all better and we really are on recovery and everything's going to be good.
The reason that they fear deflation is because deflation puts the bankers out of business, okay, because nobody can pay the interest on their debts, okay? So that's why they fear the deflation, and they will pull out all the stops to continue this money printing and continue this debt-based economy to the point where it blows up, because
they don't want to lose power.
That's right. They're in crisis mode right now, and that's what they're talking about, and that's what this whole thing is about, is saving the banks. And the banks, you know, why do you want to let the banks go under? Because they are a monster that a creation. It's like a Frankenstein monster out of control on our economy. You know, the disparities and the shift of assets and a working economy based on production doesn't happen anymore. That's why you're seeing such a collapse in all of these numbers. And it's just going to get worse until, like Skousen or Schiff said, we've got to take the medicine, which is start saving, get back to producing stuff, and get off this drug called quantitative easing. Yes. And this banker stuff. So
producing stuff would be great.
With that, let's go to break here, and then we'll come back, and hopefully we'll have our caller on the
line. All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR.
Falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, and they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. He's sleeping on the job, and those raindrops are falling on my head, and they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they seem to keep me warm.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair, California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
The Shasta County Grand Jury is now accepting applications. Serving on the grand jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you could hope for. The window of opportunity to apply for the grand jury is now open. If you're interested in helping ensure transparency and accountability in our local governments, agencies, and officials, if you can serve 15 to 20 hours a week for a year, are a good listener, able to ask thoughtful questions, and can work as a team with other interesting people, apply now. Go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org. That's ShastaCountyGrandJury.org. Do it now.
I feel I helped do important work representing the public in looking at local governments and agencies.
I met our community leaders and learned so much.
For me, it's important to watch how taxpayers' money is spent.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will? Apply now at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Safari Club International, the leader in protecting the freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. On Saturday, May 2nd, join the Reading Chapter for their 21st annual banquet to raise funds so the vital work of protecting our hunting heritage and educating youth can continue. Beginning at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Event Center, join a fun-packed evening with games, auctions, drawings, lots of guns, and your choice of a tri-tip or chicken dinner. Safari Club International of Reading is currently planning hunts regionally and for African game, and you can find out about these and all the activities of SCI and have a great time Saturday, May 2nd. For tickets, visit sciredding.org or call 530-524-3252. That number again, 524-3252. The 21st annual fundraising banquet for the Reading Regional Chapter of Safari Club International tickets, 524-3252.
Hi, this is Linda Vai. Join me here on KCNR 1460 AM at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights for On the Spot with Linda Vai. You'll hear wonderful interviews with musicians, artists, winemakers, chefs, business owners, and designers, just to name a few. Girls just want to have fun, and we do. Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here with On the Spot with Linda Vai. Brought to you by Dandelion Boutique, Crackmaster Windshield and Repair, and Wind River Casino and Hotel.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
We'll be right back.
slash and burn, return. Listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting. Every motive escalate, automotive centering. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, step down. Watch your heel crush, crush, uh-oh. This means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear. Tournament, a tournament, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end.
Yep. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that song. Offer them solutions and they decline. Yeah, well, I think we're back here. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Community Radio for the North State, your cutting edge news source, if you will. And we have and on
I
the line.
Yeah, I guess we have somebody with some
breaking news. Yeah, we need the little. Good morning, Terry. How you doing?
We need the organ back.
Oh, yeah.
Investigative reporting.
Oh, yeah. We got some investigative reporting going on here. Hold on. Bob will get that organ music up real quick. And then happy Easter, Terry.
Happy Easter, you too.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was a very interesting segment, Mark. Thanks for playing that. I really like the way that you go through the economic stuff for folks, and you break it down for all of us.
Well, thanks, Terry. I'm trying to get this across because obviously it's my passion. It's important to me. But, understanding what's happening economically in the world is key to understanding what's happening in all these other things. Because if you don't get the money, you don't get any of this stuff. And, you know, where's the money flowing from and where's the money flowing to? And once you see that, you can start protecting yourself and doing something.
Well, this is going to tie in with all of that. I got a letter, as every, I would think, ratepayer in the city of Reading got. And usually you get these letters with your bill, and I'm, like most people probably, I just throw them away. But this one, it caught my eye because it says, here are the facts about the city of Reading's pilot program. For more than 87 years, the customers of the Reading Electric Utility, REU, have financially supported the funding of basic city services. Since 1988, REU has contributed through a common practice in municipal electric industry known as the payment in lieu of taxes, or pilot. Until recently, the pilot has drawn little attention, even though it's been part of the utility rates for many years. A recent court challenge to the practice based on Proposition 26 has shined a light on the pilot both for the city of Reading as well as numerous cities throughout California that utilize the same practice. Proposition 26, narrowly passed by the voters in November 2010, redefined what tax is. But the voters were also promised that Proposition 26 would not apply retroactively to disrupt long-standing financial mechanisms like the pilot. A Shasta County Superior Court judge agreed with the city and ruled against a challenge to the pilot brought in February of 2011. However, an appeal to the Third District Court recently reversed that decision because of the technicality that the pilot is embedded in the city's budget practices rather than contained in an ordinance. The matter may go now before the California Supreme Court or, at a minimum, back to the Shasta County Superior Court. What is a pilot? And why is it important to the city of Reading and its citizens? Very simply, the pilot is a payment made by REU each year to the city's general fund in an amount equal to 1% of the utility's assets. This formula is similar to the property tax burden that is required of a private utility company, such as Pacific Gas and Electric, for instance. In both cases, that money helps pay for basic services for the community, such as police and fire protection or street improvements. The concept of a pilot is not new, nor is it a deceptive or secretive maneuver to wrest money from unwitting taxpayers, as some have claimed. On the contrary, the pilot in its most current form has been in effect since 1988 in the city of Reading. In fact, REU ledgers from as early as 1929, 8 years after its creation, shows transfers to the general city fund as a major portion of its annual expenditure. Similar ledgers in the early 1950s also include charges by the city in lieu of taxes. Clearly, some form of the pilot has been around for nearly a century. That's long before the passage of Proposition 26. REU customers are notified of its existence through written notification included in the utility bills, a practice that has been ongoing for many years. Here's the kicker. If the pilot should ultimately be struck down, the annual payment of approximately $6 million to the general fund would disappear. A residential customer using 850 kilowatt hours of electricity would only save $6.50 per month. But the loss of the funding in city services would significantly and strongly be felt. A loss of $6 million could mean the equivalent of 40 police officers out of a total of 98, or nearly the entire budget of the city's public work department. Even with the pilot in effect, city utility customers pay rates that are among the lowest in California.
Or three or four administrators at the top level.
Right, that make $1 million. That would be the city manager, the deputy city manager, and the assistant city manager.
Yeah. I mean, this is so outrageous.
It's outrageous.
It just makes me so mad. I just want to throw something through the window.
Well, let me give you a couple of quick things, and I want your comment on them. First of all, we've got a new police station that looks like a military compound. Okay, we have a new police station. They could afford that. We have new police cars. They could afford that.
Didn't everybody get raises?
Yes, everybody got raises also.
Oh,
and
man.
Also, here's the other thing, that while they were talking about this, and they go back to this happened in 2010, Walt McNeil had said publicly and went publicly before the city council and said, hey, if you guys put this on the ballot, you can dodge this. And they said, nah. Where's the transparency? There really isn't any. And on top of that, they gave a 7.5% increase raise in 2011.
Wow. You know, it's unbelievable because what this is taxation without representation. What are you going to do if you stop paying your electric bill? You know, it's like, oh, we're not going to give you the choice and you're not going to see the tax. You know, you're not going to have the voice in the taxes on where it goes. You're just going to be forced to pay your electric bill. And if you don't like it, then we'll shut off your electricity bill and then it'll go in the general fund to be used for whatever we feel like it. And it's not a technicality what they're doing is they're taxing you, in a way that you have no choice but to pay it.
Well, what they're saying kind of parallels a little bit about what happened, you know, to a degree with Brent Weaver. I mean, he didn't fill out the 460. The law said fill out the 460.
Right.
Which means that you have to show all your donors of over $100. Okay, so he doesn't fill it out, but his reasoning is that, well, I put it online and, you know, I went ahead and I let people know, but I didn't fill out the form. Well, the law is to fill out the form. It's the same principle here. The law is, they needed to let people know. The law is that they should have had a general election on this.
Yeah, there should have been an election to let the people make the choice of whether they wanted to pay the tax or not at that point, and not just these bureaucrats that seem to think that it's the old tax and spend thing. You know, every time we overspend, well, the answer is just to tax the hell out of everybody, and we don't care whether it hurts them or not. We don't care if they're electric. And then, you know, electric, oh, $6 a month. Really? Well, if it's that easy, why don't you put together a tax, you know, and put it on the ballot to see if people want to pay that extra $6 a month.
Let them have the option.
Let them have the option. Or maybe what we should do is put it on the ballot to say that maybe the top echelon of the administration needs about a 20% freaking cut off of their salaries and their benefits packages to pay for the cops.
$90 million on the payroll. I mean, that's 10 times the amount that it takes to run the county of Sierra. Okay, so when you stop and look at this, and especially the threat here, I mean the threat, city services would be significantly hurt. A loss of $6 million could mean the equivalent of 40 police officers. So they're threatening people basically by saying that, okay,
sure,
if you guys let this happen, but see, we have no choice whether it happens or not. You know, the thing is, it's in the courts. They broke the law. They didn't put it on the ballot like they're supposed to. They broke the law,
right.
And they're breaking the law, and they're saying, okay, but, you know, if this happens, now you guys are really screwed. Well, how does that work? I mean, how does that even begin to work? If they knew that this was going to happen or could happen to them, if they knew it in 2011 and Walt McNeil brought it to their attention, why didn't they do something about it? But now they're so transparent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Obama's administration, they're really transparent. I mean, they just tell you that every single day.
Transparently corrupt.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, yeah, this is the same old politics of the elitist mindset. Of course, they're just treating us like children, you know. I mean, you have to put us in the corner every once in a while.
Well, the only reason we got the letters because they got caught.
Right.
We call it what it is. They got caught, so we get the letter. So they got caught, so they sent it out to the people. They got caught, so what they did is they sent this out and said, gosh, you guys, you're going to be losing 40 police officers. All because Walt McDeal and the people said, this is outrageous, and you're not following the law.
I think you're an extremist, Terry, and
that we're going to get cut off. If you want to hang on the phone, we'll pick this up after the top of the hour, but they're going to cut us off at 10 o'clock. So hang on with us.
Okie doke.
Okay.
You're listening to Sovereign Minds, where we don't pull any punches.
Yeah. This is KCNR 1460, home of the community radio for the North State.
Hour number two of Sovereign Minds next at KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee says a nuclear agreement with Iran is possible, but Congress needs to be given a role in the process.
We know that during the negotiations, the fact that Congress was likely to weigh in was something that the administration and the other Western countries were able to use to ensure that this deal isn't worse than it is.
Tennessee Republican Bob Corker on Fox News. He wants lawmakers to scour the details of the final plan, ask the Obama administration hard questions, and then vote on it. Negotiators hope to finalize the deal by the end of June. It is Easter Sunday 2015, and Christians around the world are celebrating the risen Christ here in Washington, D.C. The 37th annual Easter Sunrise Service on the grounds of the Lincoln Memorial, led by Pastor Amos Dodge of Capitol Church.
Here's what we know, that we're there to declare to what we say to our city, to our nation, and to the world, Christ is risen.
For Eastern Orthodox Christians who use a different calendar, Holy Week is just beginning today with Palm Sunday. Officials say one of the gunmen in a Muslim terror attack on a Kenyan school last week was the son of a government official. The man's father had reported his son missing last year and feared he'd gone to Somalia. Meanwhile, in Garissa, Christians observed a somber Easter amidst worries about more attacks, like the one Thursday that killed 148 people. A Sunni political party in Yemen says two of its senior leaders are amongst over 100 members abducted by its Islamist rival, the Shiite rebel group seeking to control Yemen with backing from Iran. The Muslim Brotherhood's branch in Yemen, known as ISLA, says Houthi rebels and their allies have taken the men in a series of overnight raids. This is SRN News.
This is eHarmony founder Dr. Neil Clark Warren. Let's talk about you for a minute. If you're missing the relationship you always thought you'd have, it's time to visit eHarmony.com. If you're wondering what a deeply compatible relationship would feel like, it's time to visit eHarmony.com. You know us. We've been helping create some of the world's happiest couples for the last 13 years. Our commercials are filled with real people talking about how their lives changed forever, for the better. Thanks to eHarmony.com. We have over 565,000 marriages to date. And I think it's fair to say that when you're ready for a meaningful relationship, eHarmony.com is the gold standard. So once more, it's time to visit eHarmony.com. Stop waiting. Start communicating for free today.
As the April 15th tax deadline nears, people who get help paying for health insurance under President Obama's law are seeing the direct effect on their refunds, hundreds of dollars, for better or for worse. The law offers tax credits so people without job-based health insurance can buy private coverage. These subsidies are tied to income, so consumers have to estimate accurately what they'll be making for the coming year. Earlier in the filing season, the tax preparation company H&R Block reported that 52% of its customers who got health insurance subsidies owed money back. Repayments averaged more than $500. On the other hand, about one-third of customers with subsidies overestimated their incomes. Their refunds went up by more than $300. A hospital operator is denying allegations of poor training and improper preparation and seeking dismissal of a lawsuit by a nurse who contracted Ebola while caring for the first U.S. patient to succumb to the deadly disease last year. This is SRN News. South Korea has chosen a state-run aircraft maker as the sole preferred bidder for a contract to develop a mid-level fighter jet for about $8 billion with help from Lockheed Martin.
Officials say it's South Korea's biggest ever weapons development project. Seoul's Defense Acquisition Program Administration says it'll negotiate with Korea Aerospace Industries about detailed terms for the contract. Defense agency officials say Lockheed Martin will assist KAI in developing the jet. They note the $7.8 billion is only for systems development and the production of prototype jets by 2025.
SRN's Jeremy House. Today is Easter Sunday, April the 5th, the 95th day of 2015. There are 270 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1933, President Roosevelt signed an executive order setting up the Civilian Conservation Corps. On this date in 1965, My Fair Lady won the Oscar for Best Picture. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Welcome back. It's the second half of Sovereign Minds, and we're here in the studio, and we're having a conversation about, the pilot
RAU
program.
And pilot
RAU.
Program.
Yeah, we're wondering who wrote the letter. Was this a Duvernay parting shot? Is he headed for the hills? Is he going to Alaska, and they're going to have a movie called Into the Wild, and they're going to find him in a bus across the river of no return? Is that what this is?
I'm not sure who wrote it for them. The city wrote it, but one of the things that really strikes me in reading this is that, it says that basically the money helps pay for basic services for the community, such as police and fire protection of street improvements. Well, first of all, our street improvements, a lot of those have come from the feds through Caltrans. The other thing that we're looking at as far as the police and fire protection, a lot of what we're living on now, according to the chief, is grants that we have. It's like that's why they have those DUI checkpoints, because we get money for that. We get money from the state and money from the feds for a lot of this stuff, mostly from the feds because the state doesn't have any money. But we get money from them, and so where does the $6 million go to? And when you look at the salaries of the people in Reading that work for the city, it is insane. How in the world can you receive a letter in good conscience as a citizen here and look at this thing and say that if the pilot program is ultimately struck down, the annual payment would be $6 million to the general fund. It would disappear, and therefore you would lose 40 police officers and or nearly the entire budget of the city's public works department.
Well,
really?
Are you kidding me? This reminds me of a history of the world where the king says, "Hey, I love my peasants. I love my peasants. Pull."
Exactly.
Yeah, these guys. It's unbelievable.
It's unreal.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm actually speechless at this point, if that's even possible. But,
well, the thing that's really crazy about it is that okay, even if you get a letter like this as a citizen, what do? Well, you probably would go back and say, hey, you guys, when you found out about this and Walt McNeil stood in front of you and said, hey, you guys better put this on the ballot. This is passed. You better do it. Pretty good idea. Better do it. You're going to be in trouble if you don't do it. No. We won't do it. We don't need to do it.
Who was the attorney back then?
That I'm not sure. I don't know whether it was Duvernay or not. It was 2011. Might have been.
I'm not sure how long Duvernay's been with us. Pretty sure.
Oh, wait. He's not with us anymore, is he? We don't have a city attorney.
I mean, it's hard to subpoena you from a bus across the river of no return in Alaska.
Or Brazil.
Yeah, he's one of the boys from Brazil. Who knows what's going on? I mean,
the whole point is that how much more are the people going to take of this? Now, there's a city council meeting on Tuesday night probably everybody should go to. I mean, enough is enough. I mean, Carl Bott had it right when he called them the Imperial Council.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope Carl does something on this issue on Monday. In fact, he should. I don't know what that would be preempting, but
Is tar and feathering off the table?
All I can say is this is outrageous.
Well,
you know, and to get a letter like this sent out, no solution, no nothing, just saying, trying to what? Expose Walt McNeil for saying, hey, you guys need to get yourself together here. You still have an opportunity to do the right thing without any consequences for anybody.
Well, and it's
on the ballot.
It's really good timing, Terry, when the crime's way down and the roads and the streets are in great shape. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the road improvements, you know, read on the chat room are, you know, the streets are barely painted. I mean, so this is all really good timing so we can lose 40 cops in the middle of a crime wave and an economic upheaval. But these guys are going to, you know, walk over to their little, Japanese gardens with the maple trees all around and pretend that, we're just, children that, need disciplining.
Well, you're familiar with the COPS program, yes?
No. What is the COPS program, Terry?
You don't know about the federalizing of the police forces?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I do
okay,
know about
that. Okay, so that's
that.
The deal. I mean, so, hey, what better way to do it than to have this hit?
Oh, yeah.
Not saying that's what they were thinking.
I don't know.
But, you know, gosh, you lose 40 officers. No, I don't think so. I think maybe we lose the gardening department. Or how about the guy who washes the cars? Or, you know, or how about let's narrow it down to one city manager? There's four cops right there.
Yeah.
Because according to them, each cop's $150,000 to take care of. Because
right.
If they're saying we lose 40 cops and it's $6 million, that's $150,000 a cop.
Well, I think if we fire a Starman, you know, that's a big chunk in the right direction anyway, because if this is costing us $30 million, you know, and these guys are the ones in power, it's cheaper to do it without them. It's, you know, it's actually cheaper not to have them in place because it wouldn't cost us the $6 million in the first place if these guys hadn't approved all this crap.
Well, you know, it says here that it's not retroactive, but, you know, it probably would be retroactive to when the law was passed.
Right.
So it could go back
that's what they're
3 years.
That's what they're saying is that it's about $30 million altogether. And you know what's interesting about this, too, is the police, fire, and the government workers are going to take this hit just as probably faster and sooner than anybody else, you know, because if you're talking about 40 police guys being laid off, and we look at the unfunded liabilities from the economic side that are going to collapse if the stock market goes down at all, you know, the mortgage-backed derivatives and CalPERS is in trouble, this is a recipe for a complete blow up of the city. And, you know, if you can't spell Bell, you might try and figure out how to spell Reading.
Well, the thing is that, you know, these guys that, you know, they're either over their heads in what they're doing, including our mayor. They're either all over their heads or they're doing it on purpose, or it's a combination of the two. Okay. I think that it probably is a combination of the two. And again, we don't even have a city attorney at this point. They're paying some guy, I think, who used to be the attorney I guess they're going to probably have to farm it out by hours. I think that's how they're doing it now. But, you know, the point is.
And where's the grand jury in all this stuff? Where's the grand jury? Why isn't somebody being, investigated?
Well, tomorrow night at the Tea Party, we have Tim Pappas coming in to speak about the grand jury, and they are appointing people now for the grand jury, and that's why Tim Pappas tomorrow night at the Tea Party, 6:00, Destiny Fellowship Church at 2570
Bonneview. I got it.
Bonneview Road.
I've gotten that right.
Tim Pappas.
I've gotten that right for about a year now, Terry. So I don't want to hear anything.
Anyway, Tim Pappas will be speaking on this.
Okay, well, listen, everybody needs to show up. You guys are out there wondering what you can do while the city implodes. Start showing up and get involved in this process. We do have a caller on the line. Charles, go
Good
ahead and
morning.
Stay with us.
Oh,
no, he's gone?
He's not there yet.
Oh, he's not there yet.
He's
but
there
he will
now.
Be.
Oh, he's there,
there
now. Good morning, Charles.
Okay, Charles, go ahead and stay on the line, Terry, and let's see what we can do here.
Well,
Oh, are you still there?
I was hearing some clicks, and I thought I'd lost you.
Oh, no,
we're still here.
You're on the air, Charles. What you got?
Yeah, well, while the city is going flat like a tire that just ran over a bunch of glass.
A spike strip.
Yeah, a spike strip. There you go. I mean, the agenda's full of stuff. And among all the things that they're doing, they're bringing up the vaping ordinance again.
The vaping?
Yes.
What is that?
While they're sending out letters, you know, saying the sky is falling and all this stuff, you know, and saying that, you know, Walt McNeil's trying to bring the city down, you know, they somehow have the time to, and the energy and whatever, to bring back a vaping ordinance.
What is a vaping ordinance?
It's under the e-cigarettes, I believe, right, Charles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. See, I don't, I'm out
yeah,
of
they
I,
give off a vapor, and you know you could offend somebody or whatever it is. You know.
Yeah, I mean they want to ban vaping. I mean, that's not the only thing that's on the agenda, but that's one of the, and it's on the consent calendar.
Well, their priorities are
important.
What are you saying? Their priorities are not in order, Charles?
Well, that's like saying water's wet. Absolutely. And the agenda designation is very interesting for the vaping ordinance. 4F. Now, you know, Mark, having been in the military, you know exactly what the 4F designation is. That's exactly what needs to happen to that vaping ordinance proposal.
So are you saying that 4 out of 5city councilmen get an F?
Yeah, we like to give them 4F. Can we give them the 4F?
So that's what we should. That's the new name for the city council, 4F.
Yeah, the 4F.
The 4F Club.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they also want, and that's not the only thing. They're also wanting to discuss the possibility, I think it's either on 9A or 9B, of declaring a fiscal emergency for the purpose of putting a tax initiative on the ballot. Before November 2016.
Well, these guys, you know, they're going to continue to do what they do. So they make this big, huge mistake. We don't. They should have put this on the ballot, and now
let's tax the people and make them pay for our mistake.
While they don't take any cuts or anything across the board, and let's just keep spending and. You know, and we're worried about people smoking vapor on the street, I guess. I don't know.
Yep. And here, get the latest excuse for, you know, their latest defense for, you know, the, you know, 4F proposal.
Okay.
That's new designation, 4F.
There you have it.
But, yeah, the latest excuse is that, it might be a delivery system for, you know, this or that. Well, gee, you know, if that's the case, then let's get rid of chocolate candies because, you know, it might be a delivery system for, you know, THC or something, especially in Colorado.
Well, pacifier.
And,
we
better get rid of pot pies too, because you know that might be made of real pot. Well, we have to send pops into the grocery stores to get rid of all those Marie Callender's and Banquet and Swanson pot pies because some. You know, unknown, no-name company might try to market a pot pie made with real pot.
Well, we got to get rid of pacifiers too, because nine out of ten drug users had used a pacifier before. So,
have you ever heard of that pure mist humidifier that you know you put over your mouth and it's supposed to you know put steam in there?
No.
We better get rid of that too.
This is not an EPA test. This is not an EP test. EPA test on the diesel particulates, is it?
No. That's allowed because, after all, you know, it's EPA and CARB.
Right.
Right. And then
with
the children.
Listen, we got to go, Charles. We got Terry still on hold over here, and we're going to have to go to a break. So let's go to a break. Come back and let's continue our quest for, you know, actual truth in the media and maybe some accountability in government.
All right, this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Let it rain. culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Simpson University, the Christian University of Northern California, announces its newest degree, the Master of Arts in Organizational Leadership. This distinctive graduate degree offers a unique concentration in nonprofit management and prepares graduates to function as highly skilled ethical leaders in a wide spectrum of organizations. We'd like to share more about our unique programs for developing the leadership skills in demand today. Speak with an enrollment professional now. Call us at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu/lead.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I've been in practice for 10 years as owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. Not only do we have fun seeing entire families and athletes, but we see the hard workers of this town. We love our occupational athletes. Work better, feel better, reduce injury, prevent chronic disease, boost metabolism, increase energy and productivity, live a healthier and pain-free life with my new exercise app for your phone and computer. Check us out on Facebook at HealthWise Chiropractic. For a free one-month trial, use Dr. Maria 1. We love our occupational athletes at HealthWise Chiropractic.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew. Coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good. Well, I love a rainy night, such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my leg. In the moonlight shadow, showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day, 'cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night.
Yeah, we could use some showers to wash our cares away, and maybe a few congressmen. And
it would be nice if it worked that easy.
City council and board of supervisors, maybe they need to go down the drainage ditch as well. So, listen, we've got a Red on the line with us, and we wanted to get this in here because we thought it was very important. This is breaking news.
Yeah, another breaking news story.
We've got another breaking news story that people need to hear about, and that's what we do is investigative reporting. There's our investigative reporting music.
Yes. And this is the only place you can get it.
Yeah. Where else do
besides
you hear
that? The Chefs of Leonard.
Where can you get this stuff? Yeah, nobody talks about this stuff. Anyway, you've got some information for us on Jade Helm 15, Red?
Yeah, I do. Happy Easter, guys, and I hope you guys are enjoying it. Had a good morning with the kids and the
nice
Easter egg hunt and all that. And sitting here getting next month or this month's edition of the Shasta Lantern buttoned up. It'll be available tomorrow and going out, and it is going to be filled with all kinds of stuff that everybody needs to be paying attention to. But the lead story that we're going with is this Jade Helm 15 exercise that is going to be going on for about 8 weeks in the American Southwest.
Jade Helm, that's actually it's a military exercise. I mean, it sounds like something different than that. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, Jade Helm 15 is the name of a unconventional warfare paramilitary exercise that is going to be conducted across 8 separate states in the Southwest. It's going to be Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, California, parts of Colorado, parts of Wyoming, parts of Oklahoma. And what it is the United States military is going to be covertly inserting special forces operation troops into communities in America to infiltrate and train, practicing to be unseen and operate within American communities to conduct intelligence gathering, infiltration, and prisoner grabbing missions while conducting, while being able to learn how to work with local community leaders and against local insurgents.
Now, you didn't wake up in the middle of the night watching the Twilight Zone here, did you, Red?
No. This started breaking about 3 weeks ago, started paying attention, and I was very cynical about it. I was very suspicious of it because I've heard things like this before, and the more that I watched it, the more that it unfolded, and the more that it became clear this was absolutely happening. Up to this point, I have now watched a video where a private contractor for special operations, the United States military, has gone before a county board in Texas, similar to our board of supervisors, asking for coordination while they conduct these military operations, and they're going to be giving them money for their community to allow them to conduct these operations. I have actually had a phone conversation with a public affairs officer back in North Carolina that is handling the press for this operation. They sent me the press release on this.
JM15
is absolutely a reality.
Yeah, so people, you can Google this out there and check it out for yourself. But you actually talked to the Special Operations Officer with the U.S. Army press corps?
Yeah, the public affairs operation officer for the Jade Helm operation.
I see.
Okay. Now, it starts to get a little bit spookier here in a minute. And they have two states, Utah and Texas, that are to be considered hostile territory for this operation, and also a chunk of Southern California.
Who are the hostiles? And I saw some of this stuff mentioned insurgency. Who are the hostiles, and who are the insurgents?
They're not telling anybody that.
Interesting. So,
and when I spoke to the public affairs officer, I asked him for a list of the different counties and municipalities where they would be conducting these operations. He said many of the operations are going to be conducted on private land, and they would not disclose the property owners. And I said, okay, well, can you give me a list of the counties and the cities that you're going to be operating in? That should be public information. And he told me that is up to the local municipalities to disclose the information. That is not the job of the United States Army.
So I wonder if we can get the Redding Council or the Shasta County or who are these guys coordinating with. How would we find out about this information if they've contacted our city or county?
He did tell me that Redding, California, will not be impacted by this operation.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
They said Redding, were they talking about any place else in the county?
He did not clarify that. He just said that the city of Redding would not be impacted by this operation.
Maybe what we should do is check with the county.
Yeah, maybe. And what's so special about this? Hasn't this ever been done before? I mean, you know, haven't we ever had...
This has never been done in this way. And a lot of people are fearful that this is a lead-up to a practice of martial law, of the United States military, you know, enforcing martial law upon American citizens. And that seems to be the angle that a lot of people are going with. We reviewed a tweet and an email from the office of a United States Assemblyman in the 4th Assembly District of Georgia that has stated that the militias are on high alert observing this. There's been protests in 13 different states now over this Jade Helm operation. But what I'm looking at is I started looking at it internationally, and according to Radio Free Europe and Newsweek magazine, about 4 days ago, the Russian parliament announced that as the situation in Ukraine continues to escalate with the United States, that they are going to begin to arm Mexican nationals to help them reclaim the lost provinces of Mexico and go to the UN to petition them to allow Mexico to re-annex the lost provinces, which just happen to be the 8 states that they are conducting this military operation
in. This is the Treaty of Hidalgo Guadalupe, isn't it? I think.
Yes, and that's where it starts to get a little bit spookier. When you have a foreign government that we're basically getting into a military showdown with is stating that they're going to begin arming insurgents to attack America.
Wow.
Okay. Now, I look at it this way. I have a lot of faith and trust in the U.S. military. I don't see the average soldier turning on American citizens. But if we have an insurgent war that starts in America, there could be a declaration of martial law,
sure,
and military in force, not going after American citizens per se, but going after armed illegal alien insurgents. And the American people would welcome that declaration of martial law. And then all of a sudden, my neighbor down the street, Bob, disappears. Well, that's kind of weird. Well, I know Bob was one of those radical anti-military guys, and the rumor mill is he was helping the Mexican nationals. And nobody asks a question.
Well, I mean, this circumvents, if we're not careful, the Posse Comitatus Act, you know, which was signed into law by Rutherford B. Hayes in, you know, USC Section 18, or 18 USC 1385. And it basically says the purpose of the act, in concert with the Insurrection Act of 1807, is to limit the powers of the federal government in using its military personnel to act as domestic law enforcement personnel. It was passed as an amendment to an army appropriation bill, and so forth. So I mean, they're walking the line on this, but does this president care about anything?
Tell that to David Koresh and his people in Waco and Randy Weaver and Ruby Ridge.
Yes.
Well, that's it. See, and then you got this guy in the White House who seems to think that he can act on executive orders. I think we're up to 962 or something like that to Bush's 62 in executive orders. And, you know, forget about the Congress and the he's not supposed to be passing law, but this guy is out of control. He's purged the military. So this is not a very conducive environment to trust the government to act in a manner that's going to be for the public benefit.
Well, it's not. And if you take this thing at just on the surface and at the face value, and you go to your average American citizen and say, hey, I think, you know, Latin nationals are getting ready to attack America, and you've got your tinfoil hat on big time, but you start to explain to them the pieces and how they're fitting together, and it gets really spooky really quick, because you look at the last wave of illegals that came across the border. Most of those didn't come from Mexico. They came from Honduras and Nicaragua, countries that are traditionally socialist communists. They're the old Sandinistas. They have communist training. You have the Mexican cartels that are controlled by the Russian mob, which is controlled by the Russian government, that basically represent standing armies that are massing on the border. And you get a very clear picture of something that is about to happen is being drawn very quickly.
Well, and if that doesn't scare the bejeebus out of you, you're probably not paying much attention here. So people out there need to understand that there's some big things happening here, whether it's on the economic fronts, whether it's on these other types of fronts. And we know that, you know, I was just reading a story from Tom Fenton over there at Judicial Watch about how they've got a, you know, express train coming up through the, on the amnesty. From is a threat to public safety, because they've got a train coming up across the border where they're going to help these guys out, you know, give them money, give them place to stay. We don't even know who's coming across the border. And this is our president that's complicit with doing this. If this is not a treasonous act, I'm not sure what is. And why is the Congress not charging this guy with impeachment, articles of impeachment, and doing something about it?
Well, that's a big question, is why do the conservatives that control Congress paralyzed? Why are they not doing anything? And, you know, the common wisdom has always been America can never be invaded from outside. Well, I hate to tell people that realistic estimates is there are 40 to 45 million illegals in this country. The invading army's here.
Well, I'm looking at this that was just released from Judicial Watch, released to the public, 76 pages of the Department of Homeland Security documents showing that as of April 26, 2014, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, ICE, a division of the DHS, has released 165,900 convicted criminal aliens into the United States at taxpayers' expense, both in terms of money and security. The figures include criminal aliens convicted of homicide, sexual assault, kidnapping, and aggravated assault. So it's like, well, what the hell's going on?
Well, what you have coming across the border from Nicaragua and Honduras is you have rebels that are coming in. These, you have people like MS-13, who is an offshoot of rebel governments in Latin America. These are stone-cold killers. They're trained in guerrilla warfare. They've been conducting guerrilla warfare against their own government in the drug wars, and they're here now in America. They're armed, and I believe those are the insurgents that our U.S. military is preparing for in this J-13 operation, because if you attempt to declare martial law on American society, I don't see it working. But if we have people running around in the streets, shooting things up, attacking installations, the American people would welcome military lockdown, because we would be at war.
Well, and I'm looking at this report, and these ICE documents that were released confirmed the key findings of the report. ICE freed 36,000 convicted criminal aliens who then had nearly 88,000 convictions and 193 homicide convictions and so forth. And the shocking numbers were known by the Obama gang more than a year ago, but had been kept a secret until this litigation brought it out. So these guys, it's like, really? So they're keeping this stuff secret. And please keep in mind that this is our president here, and his appointees have been recklessly permissive in these policies towards illegal aliens. And so what are they doing? And then you got this Operation Jade Helm coming up. I mean, this is a recipe for disaster, and we need to wake up and put some pressure on our congressmen and our senators to start impeachment proceedings against this guy and get him out of there.
Red, I've got a question for you.
I don't understand what's taking so long.
Go ahead, Terry.
I've got a question for you on this. Yeah. The name Jade Helm, does that mean anything? A lot of times when there is an operation, the name usually has some kind of coded meaning, something. There's been some talk about the jade portion, meaning it could be sponsored by the Chinese, or and the helm portion about the Muslim Brotherhood or the Russians. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I have heard some things. Jade is a very important thing in Islam. Their prayer beads are made out of jade. Their decorative religious symbols are covered in jade. It's a very important mineral in Islam. And there are some people that are saying that the jade represents that. There are some people saying that the jade is representative of China, where jade is another valuable mineral. Helm is in a ship to steer. And then 15, one representing Allah in Muslim numerology, and the five being representative in Muslim numerology as well. There's been some discussion of that. Some of the other things that I've heard, I've been talking to one person and I'm trying to kind of track it down. Does everybody remember with this latest flood of immigrants, all of the parentless children that came across the border?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Still happening.
That have disappeared. That,
yeah,
nobody knows where they are. I talked to one source that stated those are not children that were fleeing their country. Those are children that were kidnapped and are now being held in the United States as hostages.
Well, everybody needs to go to the Shasta Lantern and read the article there and look for themselves, because you can't make this stuff up. You know, this isn't Chicken Little crying the sky is falling if the sky is falling here. And people need to get informed and understand what's happening to them and what's going to happen to them if we don't get control of these guys.
Well, that's, you know, we at the Lantern are very aware of our credibility. And this is a sensational story. It's a story that's easily dismissed if you don't take the time to look at the facts. It's just crazy talk. But the more we've examined this, the more that, you know, you and I both felt it was very important to get this story out there, because take a look at it for yourself. And no matter what you think this is or where it is going, there is no denying that Jade Helm is a go. You can call, we'll put the phone number in the article. You can call and talk to the guy in North Carolina yourself.
Well,
you know, Red, the Shasta Lantern has really been spot on. In fact, I've never seen you guys retract anything. It seems like every story you come up with has had great research. You know, really, the people listening, you need to get tuned into this this information. I'm surprised, though, that we don't have more of this information coming out during the week. Radio programs like Free Fire Radio could expound on some of this stuff, or at least bring it to light. Your thoughts on any of that sort of stuff? I guess the newspaper's out, huh?
Well, you know, we don't call it the Wretched Fleshlight for nothing, because, I mean, they don't print stories about anything that has of importance, in my opinion. I mean, we get all the AP crap out of Washington, D.C., and, you know, they don't even write their own stories unless it's about, you know.
Well, if you're busy copying and pasting, it's kind of hard to be creative.
Well, and it's like, what do they talk about? Which pet of the week on Friday? I don't know. I mean, but we'd like to see Carl Bott get a little more involved in looking at some of this stuff, because it needs to get out more mainstream. And we are one radio show or two radio shows that are over here sounding off and, you know, yelling from the top of the tower. But, you know, we need some help out there with people, and people need to, you know, give us a hand, vet this stuff, look into it.
And I remind everybody that the Shasta Lantern is online at ShastaLantern.net. You know, there's things that are going up on there daily. Check the website early and often, and you will find these news stories. We've been able to cross-pollinate with some other great news sources that are online, and some of their reporters are writing for us now. We have access to Breitbart. We have access to Flash Report out of Sacramento, which is probably the best political commentary and best political reporting in California, is probably Flash Report. One of their lead editorialists writes for us now. Breitbart, who is a more than credible source, we have access to their articles. They're working with us. It's really been great what's going on with the Lantern.
So I have a question. So if somebody was interested and wanted to find out more information about this Jade Helm 51 or 15, 15?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
15. And you say they had folks, you know, that they had relatives in Arizona or whatever. Is there a link on the Shasta Lantern or something where they might be able to go and get more information and find out where this is happening in the other states?
There's a story on the whole Jade Helm thing that was written by Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio, and on there you can go and view the video where they're before a board of supervisors in Texas asking for permission to conduct this operation, all of the information for the operation, the phone number to call North Carolina and ask the United States military if this is happening yourself is on there.
Nice, because I know myself, I have relatives in New Mexico that would probably want to get this information so they could research it to find out what's happening in their parts of the state, you know.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you, today's shock and awe.
I've got two quick questions for you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of them being, you know, this program that you're doing today has been pretty remarkable. And Red, you've been amazing on your research, my boy. You've been amazing. Anyway, the thing that we need to do is really get this program on during the week sometime to where this can be played sometime.
Well, that would be good.
This stuff is pretty important, number one.
Well, maybe two, we get enough people out there calling and asking Carl Bott to play some of the segments.
This should be played, and maybe next week, but it needs to be played again because it is Easter Sunday. The other thing is does anyone think that the congressman, our congressman, is aware of this stuff? Because it seems to me, I know he did a couple of quick things up in Wairika, in Love and Siskiyou County, went up there and did a couple things up there. As far as talking about what has happened with the wildfires and that stuff, which was a good thing to do, but haven't heard hiding her hair or what does he think about all this stuff? It's impactful as far as the United States goes. Anybody have any clues on that?
Well, it'd be a good thing to know. Maybe we can get someone to contact the congressman this week.
In all fairness, he may not know about it. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes on, and he may not.
Very true. He may not.
I guess an Army operation.
If he is aware of it, there's a very good chance that he is simply accepting the military narrative of, oh, this is just a normal operation, nothing to see here, please move along.
Well, there's...
And I guess the public just shouldn't ignore this military operation that condenses almost the whole southwest border, talking about insurgencies and everything that's going on. I guess they don't really need to know about this stuff, huh?
Well, I think a lot of it is. I think really and truly some of them don't. And I'm not making excuses for anybody, but I think some of them don't. Because, you know, when you have staffers, most of the staffers, especially the low-level ones, are either into what it is to get the guy reelected or what the mundane day-to-day stuff is or what the heavy topic of the day is in Congress. So, and I'm not giving anybody a pass by any stretch of the imagination. I think they should know about things like this, but there's certainly a good possibility that they don't.
Yeah, because there's a lot going on. In all fairness, there's a lot going on, and we just came to light with this, so they may not. But it's our duty to make sure that they know about it and to see what they're going to do about it.
There you have it, Sissy. You're 1,000,000% right.
Well, very good. Wow.
Well, okay. and two, you have to remember that they may be unwilling to touch it politically, because what we're talking about is a pretty radical, sensational story. We're talking about we're expecting some form of insurgent warfare in the American Southwest in the very near future. And if you don't take the time to look at the data that backs that up, that sounds ridiculous on the surface. You know, we understand how far out on a limb we are with this story, but we would not be going with it. We would not be talking about it if we did not believe there was something here and how vital it is for people to know. Right now, our target is to be looking at the environmental and the corruption that's going on, especially here at the local level behind the environmental movement. And we've kind of had to shelve that and really beat the drum on this Jade Helm thing, because for us, we're looking at it, we're kind of going all hands on deck. It's that important. It's that critical. It's that right now.
Well, yeah. I agree with you, Red. I mean, the real deal is, there's so much going on, but you can't overlook something like this. This is huge, and how it could affect every aspect of our lives up here, all the way down to Mexico and across the border.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that they're going to stop there.
Well,
I mean, who says about them moving forward if it's true and. Expanding out.
This is a major military operation that's blending in with the local communities to be unseen in the communities as some kind of a battle against insurgency. What? I mean.
So am I understanding it right? Some of the Board of Supervisors are in whatever counties or states
in Texas
with open arms saying, yes, go ahead and do it. We don't have a problem with this.
Okay, here's the kicker. Those of you that have been paying attention to us as we talk about the CARB fight, how we've been hounding coordination, that anytime the federal government wants to commit a major federal action, they have to come to the local municipalities and ask permission.
Right.
They are going everywhere that they're conducting these operations and asking permission.
Well,
okay,
I would think that by signing
those coordination documents, the local counties and municipalities are signing away their constitutional protections.
Well, and
because they are authorizing them to conduct this operation.
Well, and then you
take something like you have a foreign national government such as Russia threatening to arm Mexican insurgents to start guerrilla war in the American Southwest at the same time that this operation is going on, and you got to go, holy crap,
yeah.
And start wondering what's going on.
Well, listen, we got to go to a quick break here, and then we'll come back to finish off the show.
If you want to call in and have a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Musicians.
I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Come rock and roll with Reading Republican Women. Go back in time to the 50s as we celebrate our fourth annual Wine and Brew event during cool April nights at the Elks Lodge. Libations, appetizers, and a live DJ. $25 tickets, call Diana Branch at 941-2100. Thank you to our sponsors, Mosley Family Cellars, Mount Tehama Winery, Elpin Cellars, New Clairvaux, Armor Low, Bernsini Vineyards, Lucero Olive Oil, and Woody's Brewing Company. Wednesday, April 22nd at the Elks Lodge, a fundraiser to benefit the scholarship program and Bucket of Books.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join us for the second annual fundraising banquet and auction, April 11th at Wind River Casino. Doors open at 4:30, dinner at 6:30. Command Sergeant Major Daniel Sebi, curator for the California State Museum, will be our guest speaker. Come join us for a great night and support the museum as we raise funds for the new museum property. For more information, call 222-2282. We look forward to your support.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Larry Morgan, chairman of the Reading Downtown Transportation Plan. Roundabouts, new lanes, well, let's find out Monday when we talk to Larry. Also joining us, Safari Club International with the latest on what's happening with their fundraiser. All of this Monday here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the people's voice.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Rain,
Yeah, let's hope that rain just keeps on falling. Uh-oh. Oh, we got somebody that just, we lost him on the line there. But, yeah, kind of if you haven't, you know, seen, heard the theme music here. Sorry, getting tongue-tied. Sort of the theme of rain, and I'm hoping that it just keeps raining all day today and all night, and maybe we get enough rain to help this
drought.
That'd
be nice.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know whether is all the chemtrails they're spraying up there stopping. I don't know. Anyway, have we got anybody on the line there?
One of them is still on the line.
Who do we got on the line?
Who's still there? Terry?
Red?
Red? Hello?
Hello? Nobody's there.
Maybe we lost them both.
No, wait a minute. Let's see.
Okay. Who's with us?
Nope.
Oh, we did lose them both.
I guess we lost them both. Oh, well, it happens. Anyway, hey, thanks for calling in, guys.
Yeah, with all that great, well, I don't know if it's great news, but it's news that we should know.
Disturbing news, maybe? You know, I guess.
Well, it's informative, that's for sure, and it's stuff that we do need to know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we got so many water, just speaking about the rain, we got the water stuff out there, and Governor Brown just announced that there's going to be a 25% cutback in water usage, and, but, what's interesting about that is that he has evidently exempted all of the oil guys and the fracking guys from.
Imagine that.
Yeah, you know, so most of the burden will fall on residential usage while exempting the oil and gas fracking industries from restrictions. It is estimated that the drillers use 2 million gallons of fresh water per day in their fracking operations. So. I wonder if that could be the problem. I don't know. Anyway, I guess you're back there, Terry, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think that, again, a lot of the stuff we're bringing up to people aren't really bringing them up to snuff on things. And I like talking about, you know, events like anybody else. I mean, you know, Civil War reenactments, you know, wine and cheese events, all that stuff. But really, I mean, with all this stuff going on, come on. You know, if we're going to be talking about maybe different roadways or different ways that we're going to arrange the city, I mean, that's going to happen 4 years from now or 5 years from now. What about what's happening today?
Well, I guess the fact that we might have a Mexican insurgency war, supplied with arms by Russia. Hey, what the heck? Pet of the week. Why not?
But my point is that, you know, we have to in the media make sure that we're getting everything out to everybody, that you have something that's going to, and of course all these great events we have need to be talked about, but I think that there needs to be more balance. When you get a letter like this from the city of Reading, that's outrageous. It's a mild threat. It's saying, since this happened, you're going to lose this.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean,
because we broke the law, here's your consequences.
Yeah.
The idea of shutting down public comment, the idea of having the IRS looking into our city, you know, all the idea of what's happening to the business association with, you know, with all these folks, with Mr. Stevenson's organization. I mean, all this, the crime. I mean, we have money for a police station and police cars, but we can't get a policeman. I mean, I'm just a simple guy, and I'm trying to figure out what in the world we're doing here.
Well,
what are we doing playing this game of, oh, gosh, let's all go have a cocktail party while all this stuff is going on? And it's not a matter of, gosh, oh, everything's horrible and awful and all that sort of stuff. I mean, we all have our faith. The point is that, come on, you know, you need to get this out here and not be oblivious to it, or worse yet, be compliant to it.
Hey, we have another caller on the line. We have Billy Bob. We
only got a couple minutes.
Well, we're winding down. Billy Bob, what do you got for us?
Oh, yes. I just wanted to echo everything that Terry, what a great patriot he is, and Red also. This show has absolutely just dumbfounded me, as usual. I think I know everything until I tune into your radio program. But
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I just wanted to compliment you on getting this information out. You guys are all patriots, and I have a suggestion. I don't know if it'll work or not, but between Terry and Red and you guys, we just put the Shasta County Constitutional Committee together and form some type of DOS that can counter this absolute bull crap and get her done. So anyway, I just wanted to compliment on everybody, and Red's energy on what he's doing is just fabulous. So anyway, carry
on. All right, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Bill. Anyway, we're done.
Your support, we appreciate it.
Well, what do we got, a minute now, Bob? Yeah, we got about a minute left here, so we're winding down. Anybody got anything to say before we sign off here? This is your shot.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
And he is risen indeed.
Yep. Agree. And next week we have Dan Johnson on from Panda. So
all right,
tune into that.
Oh, wow.
Very good. So all I have to say is you were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force, like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Stay tuned for All In. Patrick Jones, the scheduled host this morning. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington.
The stone is rolled away. The grave is open. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive.
Pastor Amos Dodge of Capitol Church leading Easter sunrise celebrations here in Washington this morning in the shadow of the Lincoln Memorial. Billions of Christians are marking the holiday all around the globe, including in Jerusalem, where Jews are currently marking Passover. The chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee says Congress should scrutinize and approve any nuclear agreement with Iran. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, Tennessee Senator Bob Corker says congressional involvement will help ensure the deal is not a bad one. Negotiators announced a framework deal this past week, which would be finalized on June 30th. The federal government is urging the Senate to take action on Medicare's doc fix by April 15th, before thousands of doctors face double-digit payment cuts.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.